We have been traveling through the sugya of Sfiras HaOmer, Kavod Rabbanim, we started with. Then we tried to really understand what a Rebbe is about, why we need a Rebbe, what we gain from a Rebbe. And then we came into Shavuos, and it's very important that we get this clear. I saw a lot of us were very excited about understanding what the role of a Rebbe is in our lives, what the role of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim is. And it's hard for me to let go of this sugya. So I want to just finish this off with more avoda in finding a Rebbe. It takes a lot of work to have a Rebbe. To have a Rebbe requires, like we said, Rashi writes that Shimush Talmidei Chachamim is somebody who squeezes himself into places, right? We often would like that the Rebbe should come to us, and the truth is, in many cases, the Rebbe should, but if a person's waiting for that type of opportunity, a lot of times they miss the opportunity, and it's so chaval. And there was a letter from Rav Volba that really blew me away. I mentioned it only in passing a couple times ago. I want to go over what he says over here. Someone sent him like hate mail from the Yeshiva Ber Yaakov, basically. A bachur was saying that, you know, he doesn't come over to people as a mashkiach, and there's so many broken people in Ber Yaakov, and he's sitting there in the corner, you know. And basically, where are you? Where are you? You should be with the people. And Rav Volba took this very seriously. I would have probably thought not to address this in public, but he mamish, it bothered him so much, and he felt there was such an important lesson that he posted something on the door of the Beis Medrash. First of all, he says, whoever you are, Mr. Anonymous, he goes, don't ever do this. Don't be anonymous when you write letters. He says, be a man and stand behind what you say. You're a coward, basically, he says. By the way, this is something that I also find very interesting. A lot of times there are controversial books that are written anonymously. And a lot of times we think it's like humility, it's anava. But a lot of times these people are scared stiff. So they want to like test the waters a little bit. So they put something out anonymously and then they see how it goes, right? If it gets attacked, like, I didn't do it, right? And if it's good, hey, that's me. Like all of a sudden he appears out of nowhere. Right, we have to stand by what we say. One time a bachur in this yeshiva got an anonymous hate mail letter from another bachur, and I read it. It was a starka letter. And I told him, don't even read this thing. Just throw it in the trash. What do you mean? A whole dissertation, 3-page letter. Rebbe, I'm not going to read it. He goes, I'm like, you want to read something from somebody who doesn't put their name on something? It's a waste of your time. And I saved him a lot of aggravation. This guy had a lot to say, but he didn't have what to say from himself. He just wanted to hurt somebody's feelings and run away like a baby. So Rav Volba says, be a man! And then he says, but I'm going to address this because this is a collective issue. He says that the role of a yeshiva is to empower the bachra, make them stronger. Okay, so then, hey, Rabbi, if we're supposed to make you stronger, so then come to me and fix me. I have a problem. I need this. I need that. I'm not clear on this. I'm not clear on that. He says, no. He says, by the time a person gets to the age of yeshiva gedola, he says, by high school, they need baby. He says, and babies just cry and cry and cry until someone comes over and goes, boo-boo, what's wrong? And then they tell him what's wrong. And then he says, you can't do that in life. You can cry and cry and cry, but when you're an adult, nobody cares. Nobody cares about people who just mope around. It says, when you have a problem, you're sick, you go to a doctor. When you have an issue in the court, you find a lawyer. It says, yeshivas have to be created for people who know how to get into the big world. And he says, if I would come over to every person who had a problem, it would be very cute and cuddly. He doesn't use those words, they're Hebrew words here. But he says, it's very, very, you know, nice. But at the end of the day, those people would never manage in life. So he says, therefore, my position is that the nature of the relationship over here is that a person has to be proactive. He has to seek out these relationships. And it's an incredible thing. You really see this. in life. There are people who are go-getters, and there are people who are not go-getters. They simply lose opportunities. And Rav Alba says you can't make it that easy for the Talmidim. He says, first of all, also it's impractical for him to go around to hundreds of Bachrim. He says he doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh. He can't figure it out. But he says even if he did have that Ruach HaKodesh, it would not be in the best interest of the Talmud. There's an avoda of getting your life in your hands, of putting your hands on the wheel and taking control. And part of that is finding a Rebbe and getting the advice we need in any given situation. There are so many people running around, and I even know who they are. I know people who are lost in shalom bias problems, but I'm tired of checking in on them. And so I let them sit in the mud. Not because I don't care about them, but I see it never helps. I'm constantly cuddling these people since they were Bachrim, and they're just, it didn't do anything. I'm tired of chasing them, not because I'm tired of it, mitzad, what I should be doing. I'm seeing that it's just an exercise in futility. That's not how people grow. They look at me like a person who catches them in a problem, then they say they're sorry to their wife, and then they run back to their old tricks after a few weeks, and then, you know, keep the rabbi out of this. That's not how a person becomes big. A person becomes big by taking on their problems and dealing with them and finding people who can help them. And this is the topic I would like to discuss. Getting advice from Rabbeim, what we call etzes. This is a different sugya than a posek. A posek is somebody who you go to find out if something's mutter or usser, right? You go to the Rav, and the Rav also should know you personally, because certain things are not objective in life. They involve the Rav knowing you. Some things are straight Shulchan Aruch, but other things involve the Rav knowing you. You need a personal relationship with a posek, but then that's halacha, and halacha is hard line psak. Then there's advice. Etzah. Etzahs can be applied to any aspect of your life. You could have etzahs of how to deal with your parents. Etzahs of how to deal with your roommates. Etzahs to how to deal with a difficult midah that you're working on. Something you'd like to grow out of. A bad habit. Right? Etzahs how to get into the base medrash. Etzahs how to get out of bed. Etzahs. Etzahs are something that allow a person to grow. Now, a person could say, I want to be independent, right? I'm an independent guy. I'm also a closed person. I've heard that a lot, right? I'm a closed person. I don't like to get other people into my business. And it's all good. I'm independent. So what's wrong with being independent? We just said the goal of yeshiva is to empower somebody, right? So if you want to empower somebody, we should encourage independence. This guy wants to figure it out on his own. And that's a good thing, Be'etzem. However, it's a flawed logic. It's a flawed logic, and I'll explain why. If you want to be independent in anything, a person wants to trade stocks, right? A person wants to get involved in business. So very nice. Look at me, I want to do this. So now what do I do, right? How do I do this right? The only way to do that is to speak to somebody who's in business, who seems to be successful, who's been doing this for years, and to get an etzah, right? I didn't end up in business. I was supposed to be in business. But I remember on certain things, I spoke to my father just about life. I remember he almost invested with Madoff, right? That terrible scandal. So I asked him, Dad, you know, how did you not get stuck in this? I mean, the numbers were so beautiful, right? Every month you get back all this money. He said, I never invest in someone if they can't explain to me how they make their money. It doesn't matter if money's coming in every month. If I can't get clear how the money is made. So wow, here's someone, many years in business, I take that advice. One time he told me that, I remember there was someone who was so excited to put me into an investment, and I was so excited because he was so excited. And he said to me, listen, the person, he's very excited about this business deal, just tell him, let's put that aside. Show me your portfolio. Show me the business deals that you've done successfully. Don't let him sell you all this. Let's see what he's done in his life. When you see a person's portfolio, you learn whether they're successful. Otherwise, whatever's coming out of their mouth is not back, Bichlal. Oh, I didn't think about that. I was so excited. He said it's over here and it's in the best place in Manhattan and it's for sure it's a done deal. No. Figure out who the mensch is. Wow, that's advice that could allow me to be independent. When you get advice from someone, It allows independence. It's the opposite. And this is how my Rebbeim taught me, is the Mesorah in our yeshivas, in the Olam Yeshivas, to give Eitzes, is not to make people come over to you and like go, Rebbe, should I put a green carpet down or a blue carpet down? Blue is Ratzon Hashem, right? No, we don't do that. You know, we say, get out of here, figure that out with your wife. You're coming to me for that? Oh, I remember, I don't go to Rebbe's for blue or green carpets. That's how you empower somebody. That's how you teach them. And the Mesorah that we have is every Eitzah that you give a Bachar has to teach them how they can be more independent. The worst thing for me, and you can see this from the older Talmidim, is if they call me more over the years, it's a big paslus on them. My goal is that people should call me so much less, because otherwise that means if I gave them some answer and they couldn't figure out how this should answer 50 other things in their life, and they keep calling me over and over, I want to lose their number because they didn't get it. I just told you, when your wife does this, it means that. Now figure out how that equals 30,000 more cases in your life. Why do you keep calling me? And I'll even become less available. I won't answer the calls. Maybe I'm giving up all my bag of tricks. But the whole goal of an Eitzah is to teach somebody how to think on their own. But if a person thinks they can do that on their own, they're always going to be tiny. And they're always going to be limited to their little status as a katan, as a baby. When I became mashgiach in this yeshiva, I went to great mashgichim, and I said to them, what will you tell me now? Here we're looking at someone who was a mashgiach for 30 years. He's now looking at some little punk who's starting out in a job, who's doing this. Now tell me, after 30 years, what shouldn't I do and what should I do? Incredible. There's something that I was told by a mashgiach, which I will not reveal today. Usually when I say that, I end up revealing it. But I decided I will not reveal this one. It's the first time that I'm doing that, right? Usually I know. But I'm not going to. And it was the most valuable piece of Eitzah that I got. And I kept this with me the whole time, right? Every time, carrying this with me. And there was a person who became a mashgiach, and he told me that he's having heart trouble. And I'm like, whoa. So he was saying, you know, with all the things that are going on with Bachram, and I sat him down, I said, listen to me, I'm going to tell you a trick, and you're not going to have any heart problems, and you're going to be the most effective mashgiach. And I sat him down and told him this, and he's like, why didn't anyone tell me this? I've been going to doctors with this. If I would have known this, I would have been able to help so much people and be able to jog and, you know, do everything, right? You know what that is? How empowering that is to get an Eitzah from someone who over 30 years probably made mistakes so that you don't have to? So that you don't have to? It's a whole different process. It's the process of life. It doesn't just come from the Chachma of Torah, but it comes from Zikna, from age. There's an expression in Chazal, Im Chachma in Kan, if I don't have wisdom, Zikna Yesh Kan, I have life experience. And a person who takes in Eitzahs can end up with a whole arsenal of complete independence. Incredible. It's incredible. And this is our shita. You know, it's interesting. My chavruso, he's an enikel of Rav Dov Yaffe, the Zakin HaMashkichim Zatzal. And he brought him Perek Chav Gimel of Mesilas Yesharim. It says that every person should be misboning tamid on the chulsha of the seichel anoshi, how hard it is for you to make a proper decision. Rov ta'usav uksavav, there's so many tricks that your mind plays on you when you're trying. Yoser karvlo tamid toos miyadiyah, you're more likely to get everything wrong. Alkin, you're a tamid me'asakana, be afraid of this danger all the time. V'ivakish limo tamid mikol adam, always get advice. L'shmo tamid le'etza pen yichashel, always get etzes. Whoa! So my chavrusa went over to the Zakin HaMashkichim, Rav Dov Yaffe, says, is this really true? Everything in life, all this, you have to be choshesh, all these problems. He says, it's true, but at the end of the day, you decide what to do. You decide what to do. Yeah, you listen to the Eitzah, you evaluate it, but you have to be empowered to make the decision on your own. That's our Mahalach in Eitzahs. Our Mahalach in Eitzahs is it's true. We don't know, we don't understand it. We have negias and where I should spend Pesach. Of course, I'm no gay, I'm gonna go here. My wife told me to go over there. What did I do? And boom, I'm asking Eitzah. But at the end of the day, be a man and decide. This is not halacha, my friends. Halacha, the Rav decides. I know this sounds crazy. You're going to throw tomatoes at me. You're going to quote me the words Das Torah, all these things, okay? Nobody has tomatoes, apparently. But I want you to know, my Rebbeim told me that it's not the job of a Rebbe in Eitzes, not in Halacha, in Eitzes to ever tell his Talmidim what to do. We don't tell Talmidim what to do in life. We try to give over a way that they should analyze it. We try to suggest. But this is an area where if you keep telling people what to do, they will fail as Talmidim and they will fail in life. You're supposed to empower people to make the right decisions. It's a totally different gisha. I once heard somebody told me that their Rebbe said to them, I don't know why, I like to be very honest with you because I feel like this is a way of getting you to grow about 10 years faster. The more honest I am, the quicker you grow. The more I censor this stuff, you're going to have to wait to grow up. But I once heard, somebody told me that his Rebbe was giving him an Eitzah, not a Halacha, and he said, I'm your Rebbe, you have to listen to me. You know what I think that is? Abuse. Abuse. There is not a makor in the Torah to listen to your Rebbe. And I was even told by my Rebbeim that if you go to an Adam Gadol and ask them for an Eitzah, you're dumb if you don't follow it. Because they are so far ahead of you in every way. And that's why you went there. In Torah, in Zikna, in Godless, in Shlemos, in Midas, everything and anything. But you don't have to listen. You're dumb if you don't. Because you're dumb. One of a great Mashgiach told me, he listened to Revolba, his Rebbe, every time except for once. And that one time, it didn't go. Right? But he was able to do it, to not listen to his Rebbe. That's called empowering the Talmidim, and that's the Litvish approach. And I even heard from my Rebbe more that when you disagree with your Rebbe because of the Derech HaLimud that your Rebbe taught you, I'm like, Rebbe, I disagree with how you're learning the Rambam because of the way you taught me Rambams. I'll never learn the Rambam like you, Rebbe. That's nachas for a Rebbe. That means you really built a Talmud. A Talmud who could be cholik on you? That's the greatest nachas. Okay, take the chair. I'm out of here. Right? Take the chair. That's the goal. And someone who allows himself to be accessing these things, the experience, the zikna, the chachma, is attaching himself to a richer life. Listen to this one. This is out of this world, okay? It shows you the difference between someone starting out and someone who's able to see the whole process through. We know that Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, there was issues there with the dreams and it caused a whole jealousy and they were choshish that he was a roidev. And we're still suffering today in some level for this issue. The pasuk says, at the beginning, to sort of describe what's going on, Eile told us Yaakov Yosef ben Shvaz Reishana Hayoroes Achiv Batzon Vuhunar Es B'nei Bilav Es B'nei Zilpa Nesheyov. Yosef was a nar. He was a kid. Rashi says that he was Mesalsel Besairo. He did a Maisa Nairus. Right? He was curling his hair. Some sort of light behavior. Lefi Dargis Yosef, we don't understand. Lefi Madre Gusto, there was something here that was too light. Listen to what the Sforno says. The Sforno says this is the introduction to how Yosef got into trouble. What was wrong? Says the Sforno. Vuhu nar. Do you want to know how Yosef got into trouble? Because he was a teenager. He was young. Umipnei naruso chata lahavi dimas achiv. He didn't realize the consequences of saying lashon hara about his brothers. Kilo nisa, he was inexperienced. This is a sforno about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, v'lo hisbonin l'achris dover. He didn't see how it would follow through. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time, but he didn't see how the steps would follow themselves. Afal pishaya as maskil ma'ayin. Even though Yosef was a Rosh Yeshiva in learning, V'shaya achar kach morim l'ziknei hadar. At that point, at the end, he would end up being the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Morim l'ziknei hadar. Nevertheless, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, lo bidarti ki etza. A young man, a kid, cannot give an etza. What? The whole story of Yosef, according to the Svarno, is someone who's an Adam Gadol in a level that we can't farshtay, a Malach Hashem Tzavakas, Yosef Midas HaYisod, the perfected individual, but because he was inexperienced, therefore, Ein Bidarti Ki Etza, he did not have the experience of how things happen and when things lead to another, and therefore, that's what caused this whole problem. That's what caused this whole problem. You hear this? You hear this? Imagine a person tries to walk through his whole life being a baby, a nar. I'm independent. I can do this on my own without any exposure to Zekanim, without any exposure to great Rabbeim. And it doesn't matter how much further they are, as long as they're further than you, right? An Avreich is somewhat further than you in life. He's now married. You're single. Maybe he's married with kids. And he's dealing with both Shalom Bayis and Chinuch Banim, so he's further there. Then you have a Rebbe. A Rebbe is seasoned with Talmidim. Then you have a Rav of a community. He's carrying concept. He's collecting all of the communal data. Then you have a Gadol B'Yisrael who's collecting all the needs and tzaras and ways of thinking and mentalities and challenges of the entire klal. And when a person doesn't tap into any of these things, they just end up staying a nar and making terrible mistakes and not seeing things through. Listen to an amazing Gemara Nedarim. One of my, I don't like to have top 10 Gemaras, but if I did, this would be one of the top 10. Listen to this Gemara. Gorgeous. Nedarim Daf Mem. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Im yomru lecha yeladim b'nei. If children say, build, build, build. Vizekanim amr star. Vizekanim say, knock it down. Build, knock it down. Right? The Yeladim, the kids are saying, build, build, build. Right? It's very like the kids love to do that, right? And the Zekanim say, destroy. Shama lizekanim. Listen to the older ones. Val tishma li Yeladim. And don't listen to the kids. Why? Shebinyan Yeladim Stira. The buildings of kids are destruction. They are destruction. They'll just keep building and building, and all of a sudden, it'll all fall on itself. Oh, I didn't think about that one. Wow, I didn't realize that. Right? We should have gotten a better architect for that, a better engineer. Gee, I guess we were a little bit too excited. Right? Building, build, 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 build. Zekanim are like, but it's so exciting. We're going to do it. No! And it happens in so many areas of life. Sometimes in Avodas Hashem, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this. All of a sudden, the older rabbi says, slow down. Come on. I'm a bavakesh. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to put my feet in cold water at 3 a.m. Right? We don't have that problem in this yeshiva, but there are places that have that problem. Right? And the person says, stira. Your building is a destruction, my friend. It's a matter of time before this whole thing's come crashing down. What's the Gemara saying over here? Why does it say the building of kids is a stira and the stira of Zekanim? Because a building is a project that requires a lot of time. I am very impatient, and I don't work for a living. I mean, I just hear. But one thing that I have a very hard time with is real estate. It's my own Yetzirah. Flipping, I would think I could flip houses and things like that. But the idea of building these mammoth, like, malls, you know, like Mall of America, these types of things that take, like, many, many years where you could cash in, I don't have the patience. I like to see the cash right away. Like, it's just not me. I get very frustrated. Like, what's going to be? I'm in a few long-term investments. It's driving me crazy. I don't know what the end's going to be like over here, right? But there are certain people who know how to do a long-term investment. They're just more calm, they're calculated, and then they cash in. All these real estate goons, they're taking in all of the rent all the time because they were more patient than me. But the little kid doesn't want to wait. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. is that a person needs to attach himself to Bali Eitzah, who saw these things through. I thought that way when I was your age, but now, because I didn't do like you, I now own the Empire State Building, and blah, 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 right? I don't have to worry about chasnas for any of my kids. So calm down, right? Go the long haul. It's going to be good. Binyan Zikanim or Binyan Yeladim. Unbelievable. And I saw another smach for this. Listen to this one. This one is from a Gra, and it's taking us back to the Iris of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the Gemara, Daf Lama Gimel and Shabbos. He comes out of the cave with Rabbi Elazar's son. They start burning everything up. They go back in for 12 months, right? Then they come out again, and something fascinating happens, and I never really thought about it, and it's so basic, I'm embarrassed I didn't think about it. I didn't have a shot in it for sure. All of a sudden, what happens? Rav Shimon and Rabbi Elazar come out, and Rabbi Elazar starts destroying everything he sees still. He's still destroying everything he sees. And Rabbi Shimon starts repairing everything. All of a sudden, things are getting better. Okay, it's very nice that Rabbi Shimon's fixing everything. But what's going on over here? These were Amudei Ha'olam. These were Rabbi Shimon and his son. What's the Masav HaMatan? Says the Gra, that what happened over here? Rabbi Elazar wasn't a bucky in Sarchei HaOlam. Why? He went into the cave as a kid. He started out his life in the cave. And that was his whole world. Aval Reb Shimon sheyekvar zaken kishenichnas l'mayra. Reb Shimon was older when he went into the cave. So he had a very broad way of seeing the world. So he said they both had the nisayon when they got out of the cave, that the world is vanity and nothing's worth anything. And that's, they originally started burning everything up. But when they came out the second time, Reb Shimon, because he was a zaken, he pulled out all of his life experience and was able to find the meaning in everything that he saw because of that life experience. And Rabbi Elazar, his son, didn't have that. And that happens sometimes to Bachrim too, right? We have this sometimes where people, they get so excited. They're in yeshiva, and they're doing so well, and they read a Mishnah Brura, and then they see that they find, oh, look, I think the Rebbe over there doesn't know that Mishnah Brura. And they go over there. I call this Mishnah Brura syndrome. Like, I saw that you passed by him while he was davening. You were mavering his dalad alma. See the Mishnah Brura? Right? Right, it's like, their whole world, like, you know what I was going to say? Boker Tov, good morning America, right? You're not the first person to ever see this Mishnah Brura. Like, they have this, like, world of seeing, like, everything just came to them, like, just hit them. Like, they're, like, in this zone. And you need somebody older, like, slow them down. Like, realize, like, they come home to their parents, you know, it's like, you know, with their baseball bat, like, you know, like, whoa. I don't know if we have this problem in the yeshiva, but I have this sometimes where I see this. But a zakim is somebody who deals with these things, who has the level-headed nature to be able to make it that every ben aliyah is parents are saying, instead of what happened to our crazy son, what ends up happening is they say, wow, look what Torah did for our son. When someone's miyayitz, you see the difference of the relationships and how to preserve relationships, how to prioritize relationships. But people who are just running around without any hadracha are taking all their religiosity even, and mamish taking it like an M16 and just shooting around the room. It's like shooting around. That's what the Gra is saying. That when somebody's a zaken, they have a broader perspective. They have a broader perspective. And this is why you don't have to go just to one balitza. You actually shouldn't. Yes, you shouldn't. The Gra writes in Mishle Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Uchua Biroiv Yoyetz. The salvation comes from many Eitzes. And the Gra explains, what does that mean? He says, you can't just have one Bal Eitza because there might be only giving you one perspective. It's important to hear different things. Sounds confusing? No, you're not shopping around. If it was for a psak halacha, it's actually a sugi and shas. It's us to do that. Rabbi, is this chicken kosher or treif? It's treif. Okay, Rabbi, I'm just going to go to another one. Chicken kosher, treif. Chicken kosher, treif. Kosher, you're my ram. Right? You can't do that. That's called chacham shahora. It's an isser. You're not allowed to do that on a psak. So why in Eitzes is it marbe Eitzah, marbe Tzvuna? The more Eitzes that you get, the more wise you get. The answer is because at the end of the day, there's only one person who decides. And this is what Rav Dov Yaffa said, and this is what Marum is in the Gra. You are the one who decides. You're just trying to gather information from different people. And anyone who tells you otherwise, it's not fair. It's not. I wouldn't let everyone know that you're asking other people. It's not wise. Daniel, if I come to you for an answer, you go, Daniel, you know, I spent time with 25 people asking this question. Now I really want your opinion. You're like, take a hike. Like, what? Right? You have to be a little more discreet about it. Like, Daniel, so I need your help. What do you say in this situation? And then you tell me, I collect the information, and then I go, David, what do you say in this situation, right? But marbe eitzah, marbe tzvuna. Marbe eitzah, marbe tzvuna. At the end of the day, it's about becoming empowered. Empowered. And the truth is that there's some times where you can never crawl out of, you can never crawl out of your hole. When you want to grow in Avodas Hashem, you're doomed for failure without this. The Rambam talks about it. The Rambam talks about a problem. In Perek Sheni of Hilchos Deis, listen to this problem he has, and all of us have this problem, that's the problem. All of us have the problem of the Rambam. There are people, he says, that they don't know what's right or what's wrong. And like Yishayahu HaNavi says, they think that Ra is Tov and Tov is Ra, Choshech is Or, light is dark and dark is light, Or is the Choshech, Mar is Matoy, sweet is, sour is sweet, Umasuk Lamar, and sour things are sweet. They're so messed up in their senses. The Rambam writes, it's a type of holy. They have no idea. Their value system's like the exact opposite. Their value system's the exact opposite. They're like, the Rambam says you have to make a living and you shouldn't be in Kola. Like, but you're that's what it means. You think he's running around going, I should surf in Malibu. No, that doesn't sound like it's good. Everybody knows that that's not, like, you know, maybe saving the dolphins. That's something like very honorable. But I should surf in Malibu. No, they come and go, the Rambam says that I shouldn't be in Kola, right? They blame it on the Rambam. Like everything, the modern people love to blame everything on the Rambam. It's like, it's all the Rambam. Everything. Everything you wanted in life that's not Tyridic is the Rambam, right? Mar is Musuk. What's Mar is Musuk? And you need somebody to put this guy straight. He's going to go all of his life thinking that this is the Shitas HaRambam and this is how you're supposed to live your life without any understanding of the Nisyonis Hador, without any understanding of the Shita of Rav Rishonim, without any understanding of the Shitas HaRambam. What's going to be with this guy? How could he ever help himself? He's got all these Mar Makomos and they're messing him over. Like we said, the most dangerous guy in the world is the Baal Musar, right? This guy, he's in serious trouble. Says the Rambam, what do you do with such a guy? Mahi takonos choli nefashos. Because he's bothered. Even if this guy sits in the forest and does his bonenus, right? And his bonenus, every type of his bow and his bonenus, doesn't matter what he does in the forest. He's going to come out more messed up. Do you know why? Because he has no hadracha. It's dangerous to leave him in a room for a half hour by himself. Who knows what he's going to think of? So how does this guy get fixed? Says the Rambam, one eitzah. And I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, in a different context, but the same yisayit. Yeilchu eitzel chachamim. He should go after a chacham shehem rofei nefashos v'yirapu chelyam b'deya shemalamdim osamach yechzirim l'derach hatova. He should know, I don't know anything, but I know that I'm off. I'm going to get somebody to straighten me out. That's his level of Bechira. Everyone's very big. How much choice does a person have in life? Right? A person has choice. A person has the ability to decide things. But at different stages of life, it could be that even when you make your choices, you end up messing yourself up further. So then how is that called free choice? The Rambam's dealing with this. He says, yeah, you know what, buddy? Maybe you don't even know what's right or wrong anymore. Maybe you're so stressed out about this situation, you don't know if the way to go here is to take a stand against your friend or to give in, and a lot of times we don't know. We don't know. You can quote a chazal this way, a chazal that way. The Rambam says, just go to a chacham. Go to somebody who knows. That's your decision. Let him go over these things with you. Over years, you're going to end up being the Chacham himself. You'll see. If you hang out with the Chacham, by the time you're done, you're not only going to not think that sweet is sour and sour is sweet, that light is dark and dark is light, but at the end of the day, you're going to tell other people that what you think is dark, that's really light. What you think is sweet, it's really sour. And I went through this in my life, and I sat by a Chacham, and now I know, and I'm just passing it on to you. I'm just passing it on to you. And I just want to conclude with the following very controversial point. Very controversial point. Okay, it's good. Controversy at dinner, that way people will pay attention. It's very controversial. Okay? It says at the end of Saita, Chutzpah Yazgeh. Right? Chutzpah is going to reign, and it says there that the young ones aren't going to respect the Zakenim, right? Kids aren't going to respect their parents. Women are not going to respect their mothers. Everybody's going to not. So, chutzpah yazgeh. Fine. You know what's part of that chutzpah? You know what's part of that chutzpah? Not just not standing for a zaken. Not just not standing for a zaken. You know what's part of that chutzpah? This is the controversial point. Believing that we need young rabbeim. Believing that we need young rabbeim. And I don't have much gray, although we're seeing some. My kids are very, very, you know, they hold it's a mitzvah to point out when anything pops up. Okay? I'm getting there. Whatever. I've been bald since I'm 20, so it's not a riot, at least on that. But there's a certain chutzpah that we don't appreciate zakenim, my friends. We think that only the young rabbis understand what's going on, and everybody else is in the dark. And I'll tell you a more controversial point. The Gra writes in Mishlei that the chutzpah is going to be so great, it says that the zakenim are going to get up for the young ones. That's what it says in Sota. So yes, how could that, what do you mean? I understand the bad guys, the kids, not wanting to stand, but why are the zakenim going to get up? He says the chutzpah is going to be so bad that even the zakenim are going to give up. They're going to just start standing for the kids. They're going to start catering to their every need. They're going to actually change all the staffs and yeshivas to be younger and younger and younger. And I'm not trying to negate the mila of young rabbeim, guys. I trust you to be chachamim. I believe that we should have young rabbeim. And I believe it's important. And I believe that maybe we'd be out of business today if we didn't. But I want you to know it's still chutzpah. And I want you to know that when Rav Shurkin came here to yeshiva, and I saw like an 80-year-old man who's teaching bachrim who are 18, 19 years old, I felt bad for you that you don't have that. I really felt bad for you. This is a man, he came to our yeshiva, he's teaching Bachram your age, and he was a Talmud, a close Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know what that is? Of Rav Yasha Ber Zatzal. And you get to skip all those generations when you attach to him. One of my cousins only had Rabbeim who were in their 90s. He was a Talmud of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Eli Yisvei, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and Rav David Soloveitchik. Do you know what that means? We're the same age, basically. Except, he's like a few generations earlier than me, because he's coming out, he's like, they just left Brisk, and like, you know, they're like just, he's after World War II. He's mamish the same age as me. So we think that we don't relate to them. We're shaitim! Because if we would stay with these Zakenim, we would go to their level, and we'd start looking at the people in the generation like we can't relate to them. We would elevate to their level. But we don't give it the chance. And we have to have a shaychus with Gedolim. Not just, and a shaychus with Zakenim. And not just because the Satmar Rebbe said to get a bracha from someone who survived the Holocaust. That's also chutzpah. If Mr. Lefkowitz comes to yeshiva and all you can do is ask him for a bracha because the Satmar Rebbe said that, that's chutzpah. Because you don't believe that he can help you with what's going on today. Ah, he doesn't know. He's old fogey. What does he know? If you had respect for Mr. Lefkowitz, you would walk him outside and ask him something about life, and he would prove to you, Ein chadash tachas ha-shemesh. There's nothing new in the world. Everything you think is new and needs a young rabbi to tell you, you're wrong. It happened the same in Europe. It just looked a little different. And this is how we dealt with it. And I've seen this 50 times. And before you were born, I saw this. So this is the world, right, my friends, of Eitzes. I've done this with my Rebbeim. I've asked them very pointed, modern shilas in the worst of worst sugyas. And one of my rabbis, remember, I was in the car with him, I was blown away. He didn't know from any of these things. He wasn't exposed to it. He goes, yeah, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai talks about in the Zohar, this is what you do. I told a psychologist this. He nearly fell off his chair. I'm like, you want to hear the yisod to this sugya? I asked my Rebbe this shayla. He never saw this, doesn't know from it. He told me it's a mefurish sugya in the Sitra Achra and the Zohar. And he was like, oh my God. He didn't know what to do. He was stunned. One of the great psychologists in Yerushalayim could not believe the chachma. Said, yeah, that's my Rebbe. That's my Rebbe. So we can attach, my friends. We can attach to our younger rabbeim who are plenty old. They're plenty old. But we can attach, and we can attach to Avreichim, who are also plenty old. And we can also appreciate more and more the Kanan, the process, so that we could empower ourselves to be great men and to do great things with our lives.